Good morning, and it's good to be able to come together to worship God this morning. As Shannon has already mentioned, we appreciate our visitors, and we're thankful that you're here and that you've made the effort to come be with us. And it's good to be with all the brethren who are here this morning. We're here each first day of the week to worship God, and we invite you back as you have an opportunity. We meet this evening at 5 p.m. It's certainly good to be able to come together to worship God. And in our scripture reading of Psalm 93, we're told that the Lord is clothed in majesty and He sits on His throne. I want us to be reminded this morning of the fact that God sits on a throne. I wonder sometimes if people have forgotten that, or they've never even maybe been taught that. I think it's possible that as we go through life, we forget where God is in relationship to His creation. And we're seeing even more and more younger generations, they're not being taught God's Word. They're not being raised with God's Word. So that they don't even know about God or where He might be, whether He's sitting on a throne or not. Many people today have their own idea of God. They have their own concept of God. They might believe in God, but they have their own concept of God, which often justifies their behavior. They're fine with God because of their view of God. I believe we have a problem in our society today of what I might call a flippant familiarity with God, where we just sort of bring God down to our level. Our picture of God is something like maybe just fellow man. And we forget that He is on a throne. He has a universe that He has created and that He is clothed in majesty and He sits on a throne. So this morning I want us to consider that aspect of God. We serve a God that is august. We have the month of August. That word August or august means majestic, awesome. Turn with me and let's remind ourselves of a few of the Psalms and some other passages with regard to God. In Psalm 45 and verse 6, this is quoted in the book of Hebrews and applied to Jesus. But in Psalm 45 and verse 6, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of equity is the scepter of Thy kingdom." I'm sure we've seen movies before where people come in maybe the days of the knights in shining armor, and they come in and they bow down before the king who is sitting on a throne. We've never been raised in a society where we bow down before a king or a queen, not like Great Britain. We're not in that environment. We've seen it on movies. But here's the king sitting on his throne, and the subjects come in and bow down, and they understand that the one sitting on a throne is in control. He's not to be trifled with. He's not to be belittled, or he's not to be taken in a flippant manner. I wonder if we have forgotten the concept of God sitting on a throne. Look at Psalm 47 and verse 8. "God reigneth over the nations," and that includes you and me this morning. That includes us as parents. That includes the young people this morning. He's reigning over us, and God sitteth upon His holy throne. I think some people have a picture of God that is much less than that, and you can see it carried out in their lives. Look at Psalm 89 and verse 7. Psalm 89 and verse 7, the psalmist had no trouble remembering where God is in the universe. He is sitting on a heavenly throne in Psalm 89 and verse 7. "A God very terrible, awesome, majestic, very terrible in the council of the holy ones, and to be feared above all them that are round about Him." Today He's not feared. We've been studying in our new Bible class. We're just studying a book of Proverbs. It's going to be a very good study. The fear of the Lord, many don't fear God anymore. They may have some concept of Him in the back of their mind, but they don't fear and respect Him. And so verse 14, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of Thy throne. Loving kindness and truth go before Thy face." And then, of course, the scripture reading that Mason had earlier in Psalm 93, verses 1 and 2. "He sits on a throne. He's clothed in majesty." Is our picture of God just this, you know, ho-hum, you know, humdrum, you know, kind of a boring, familiar picture of this person up there and, you know, He kind of made things? Or is it a almighty God of heaven clothed in majesty? Turn with me to Psalm 103 and verse 19. Psalm 103 and verse 19. Jehovah hath established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. You think about what is going on in society today. We hear about all these problems with ISIS, and we hear about the issues up in Indiana where the governor is wanting to make the ruling that if a person just wants to practice his Christianity and be an employer and not employ someone who is a homosexual, he just wants to practice his Christianity. Well, you know, we don't want that. And so all the ruckus up in Indiana and ISIS and all of the world problems you see, we need to remember that God is ruling over all of those individuals. His kingdom ruleth over all. And He will judge these individuals. It looks like they just get by scot-free and they just do whatever they want. But there's a coming judgment day in which He will right all wrongs. And so He's sitting on a throne. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews in chapter 1 and verse 3. A lot of people this weekend are thinking about the resurrection of Jesus, and that's a good thing. We need to do that. We need to think about it not only this weekend, but every weekend. We come together, as David said. We partake of the Lord's Supper to remember Jesus' death, and that is something that we do each first day of the week. But it's good to be thinking about the resurrection of Jesus, and that's great. But look at chapter 1. And verse 3, I'm impressed with two passages in the book of Hebrews. Where did Jesus ascend after He was resurrected? Where did He go? Well, someone says, well, He went into heaven and He sat down at the right hand of God. But look at how it's described in the book of Hebrews. He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And then look at chapter 8 and verse 1. He sat down on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. And my version has majesty as a capital M to get us to thinking about that that's God sitting there. The majesty, the throne of the majesty. Is that our picture of God? That's the picture we need to have. That's the picture we need to be teaching our children. God today is the brunt of a joke. He's a cuss word. He's belittled. He's poked fun of. He is the majesty and sitting on a throne in the heavens. And we need to be reminded of that. And you can see why. You can see why in our society we just do whatever we want. There's no fear of God, hardly, in many in our society and around the world. At the most, he's a punchline of a joke. You know, late night comedians joke about him and on and on and on. I want us to be reminded this morning of where He is. He is on a throne. God is on a throne. And I want to look at a few passages this morning to remind us of that. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. And as we begin to look at these passages, I want you to notice as we read them together, I want you to notice three things. You're going to see a majestic scene each time. This is not just some boring little picture of something. It's a majestic, awesome scene. Number two, you're going to see one ruling on a throne. And number three, you're going to see those around who are giving praise. They're fearing God. They're praising God. They're serving God. And the thing that I want you to notice especially this morning is, brethren, you're going to notice in each of these cases this morning that whenever there's a throne scene in heaven, a special throne scene, it is often at a time when people need it the most to be reminded that God is on a throne. For example, in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, notice verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. This is the time in Israel's history when they are at their worst. If you look back at chapter 5 and verse 18, woe unto them that draw iniquity. Verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good. Verse 21, woe unto them that... This is a terrible time. And they need to be reminded that God is sitting on a throne. When you come over here to Ezekiel and Daniel, what is that? That's during the Babylonian captivity. God's people are in the Babylonian captivity. And the righteous ones who have been taken off into captivity, they're wondering, well, is God still in control? And all of a sudden, in Ezekiel and Daniel, we have these throne scenes. You come over here to the book of Revelation, what's happening at the end of the New Testament. Christians are being persecuted by Romans, and some of them are being thrown to the lions, and they're being persecuted and put in jail and imprisoned. They need to be reminded that God is on a throne. And it's often in the Bible, when there's a big picture of God on the throne, it's when His people need it the most, and when the world in general needs to know that God is ruling. So keep that in mind as we read these passages. Isaiah 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Just the way He's clothed. Above Him stood the seraphim, angels. Each one had six wings. With train He covered His face, and with twain He covered His face. Train in verse 1. It's like a flowing skirt or a garment. And then the twain He covered His face, verse 2, and with the twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King Jehovah of hosts. Isaiah is seeing this in a vision. And we need to see it today through the eye of faith. We need to see the majesty of God on a throne through the eye of faith. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. We're during the Babylonian captivity. It's difficult times. Who's in control? Well, God is in control, not Babylon. And when we look at world events today, and we see America slipping, and we see problems not only in our country but around the world, we need to remember that all of this is has a purpose and a plan in God's mind, and He's still in control. He knows what He's doing. He's allowing to happen what He wants to happen to accomplish His purposes. So Ezekiel sees this vision of the cherubim in heaven, but in that vision, look at chapter 1 and verse 26. And above the firmament that was over their heads, That vision of the cherubim was already spectacular. But on top of all of that was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was a likeness as the appearance of a man upon and above it. I saw, as it were, glowing metal as the appearance of fire within and round about, from the appearance of his loins and upward. And from the appearance of his loins and downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and there was brightness round about him, and the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Jehovah. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. The majesty and awe of this picture. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 7. We cannot go into heaven ourselves and see this. But God is revealing through His Word those who have. Those who have in visions. Isaiah saw it. Ezekiel saw it. We take their word of testimony. Daniel is now going to tell us about what he saw so that we can learn that God sits on a throne. When we get up each day, we need to be living, understanding that there is an Almighty God of heaven sitting on a throne, ruling and reigning over our life. And we need to humble ourselves. One of the biggest problems today is pride and hubris. Oh, I can do anything I want. Say anything I want, talk anyway, think. No, we need to be humble in the sight of God. Daniel 7, read with me verse 9. And I beheld till thrones were placed, and one that was ancient of days did sit. His raiment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. It's not just some old boring picture, you know, of just someone's kind of sitting on a chair over there. There's always a picture of majesty. There's always a picture of one ruling. There's always a picture of some heavenly host praising, serving, fearing God. His throne was fiery flames, and the wheels thereof burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands of thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000s, myriads, 10,000s times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. God sits on a throne to judge. This is in the midst of a vision of different kingdoms that are going to come up. The Babylonian kingdom, the Medo-Persian kingdom is going to follow. The Greek kingdom is going to follow. The Roman kingdom is going to follow. But God is sitting on a throne and He's ruling over all of those kingdoms. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. God's people at the end of the New Testament time, toward the end of the first century, they're being persecuted. We read about the seven churches of Asia here. Christians are being persecuted. What do they need to get? Before we get into this book, hardly at all, one of the first things that is given to them, right after the seven letters to the churches, the first thing that is given to them is a picture of who is in control. And that's what we need. And that's what we need to be reminded of. God sits on a throne. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. And after these things I saw, behold, a door opened in heaven. And thank you, John. Thank you, Jesus, for opening a door. Opening a door and letting John come up and see this and write it down. We've never literally been to heaven, but we read from those who have. And that's the whole point. And so this door is opened in heaven, and we get to see, we get to get a glimpse. One day we'll be there for all eternity, having lived right. We'll be able to be there just like John and Ezekiel and Isaiah and Daniel. But now, through the eye of faith, we read the testimony of those who have been there and have seen beyond that door, as it were. And so a door is opened in heaven. Well, who's behind that? What's the picture, John? The first voice that I heard, a voice as of a trumpet speaking to me, one saying, come up here and I will show you the things which must come to pass hereafter. And we are the recipients of that vision. Straightway I was in the Spirit, and behold, there was a throne set in heaven, and one sitting upon the throne. And he that sat was to look like a jasper stone and a sardius, and there was a rainbow around about him. We read that in Ezekiel. Like an emerald to look upon. And round about the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting arrayed in white garments, and on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and voices and thunders. You see, majestic, a majestic picture, not a boring humdrum picture. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, as it were, a sea of glass, likened unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, four living creatures full of eyes before and behind. And the first creature was like a lion, and the second creature was like a calf, and the third creature had the face of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, having each one of them six wings, are full of eyes round about and within. And they have no rest day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. And when the living creatures shall give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sitteth on the throne, to Him that liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders shall fall down before Him that sitteth on the throne and shall worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and shall cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy art Thou, our Lord, and our God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, for Thou didst create all things, and because of Thy will, they were and were created. Turn with me to Psalm 19. Why are we taking so much time to spend time reading the text? Because I believe we've forgotten this. We've forgotten this. And maybe the next generation hasn't even heard it. We just get up each day and we do what we want to do. You know, we got stuff we got to do, and We go about our merry way. There's a God in heaven, and He's sitting on a throne. And so many people, they're just ambivalent of all of it, whatever. You know, I'm just going to live my life, and I've got places I want to go and things I want to do. We have a God that we are to serve and worship. And as these heavenly beings are worshiping, we're here today to worship. And we could be doing many things. We could be, beautiful weather, I think, be out on the golf course and out on the lake and doing kind of, we're here to worship God. And that's the important thing. Why? Because He's on a throne, and one day we're going to meet Him. Look at Psalm 19, verse 1. And after these things, I heard, as it were, a great voice, a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah. meaning praise the Lord. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. In the book of Revelation, He had just judged Rome for their persecution on the Christians. He sits on a throne, and that's where the judgments come from. For He hath judged the great harlot Rome, her that corrupted the earth with her fornication. And He'll do the same thing with America. He'll do the same thing with Europe. He'll do the same thing with China. In any other country that has ever existed, He's going to sit on a throne, and He's going to judge it. And He's going to judge it. Where is He sitting? Well, keep reading. Verse 3, and a second time they said, Hallelujah. And her smoke goeth up forever and ever. And the 24 elders, the living creatures, fell down and worshiped God that sitteth on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came forth from the throne, saying, Give praise to our God, all you servants, ye that fear Him, the small and the great. There's always a majestic scene. There's always one ruling. And there's always someone praising God, worshiping God, fearing God. When we see these passages, three in the Old Testament and then in the book of Revelation, we're seeing the rule and the dominion and the authority and the power and the sovereignty of God over all creation. Now, man doesn't recognize that. They don't care about that. But that's the truth of it. God's kingdom rules over all. And it tells us that He is Lord God Almighty. It's interesting how that people will make reference to God, but they belittle Him. They bring Him down. He is Lord God Almighty. Psalm 135, verse 5, For I know that Jehovah is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever Jehovah pleased, that He hath done. In heaven and in earth and in the seas and in all the deeps. Why? Because He rules over all. We can't do that. Can you do whatever you please to do? You can't do that. We can do a lot of things that we want to do, but read the verse again. Whatever He pleases, that He can do. We can't do that. We're so limited. He's not limited in any way. Lord God Almighty. And it tells us that all the things that go on in life, whatever might be going on in your life or mine, whatever's going on around in the world, it's all in the hands of God. It's not in our hands. It's not in Satan's hands. God is ruling over all. So, now to the main part of our lesson. God sits on a throne. God does not sit in a theater seat. He doesn't go to the movies and sit in a theater seat. He doesn't go down here to Bridgestone Arena. He doesn't go to LP Field, and He's sitting there, and I'm watching the entertainment. But when you look at the religious world today, you would think that that was the case, including some churches of Christ. Because the preaching is all about the entertainment. You know, the jokes that He's telling and the stories that He's telling. And then you got this choir up singing and they're swaying back and forth and they're dressed in robes. You would think it was all about some sort of a production. You would think it was all about some sort of an entertainment. As if God were sitting out there, I bought my ticket, now entertain me. He's on a throne. He's not in a theater seat sitting there wanting to be entertained. But religion has become an entertainment industry. We worship God in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. I'm not here to entertain God as a minister. I'm not up here to entertain you or anybody. I'm here to preach God's word. We don't have choruses and choirs where we single out people and let's single out their talents and look at what a beautiful piano player he is. It's not entertainment. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, all things are to be done decently and in order. This is not a show, but you would think it was in the religious world. You turn on the TV and see some of those TV ministries. Boy, they're hooping and hollering and running everywhere and dancing and carrying on as if it were some sort of entertainment. And churches are bringing in entertainment. They're bringing in all kinds of secular things. God sits on a throne. He's not sitting in a seat wanting you and me to entertain Him. We're here to worship Him. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. We come before a God who is a consuming fire. And when we come to worship God, that is to be in reverence and respect. that we may offer up service, not entertainment, service that is well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. But you go to some places and it's almost like a comedy club. And we've got applause now. We're applauding. And we're hooping and hollering. I think an occasional amen said with sincerity would be great, but we're far beyond that. God sits on a throne, not in a theater seat. God sits on a throne. He doesn't sit down at a boardroom table where we all sit down together and let's just all cast our vote. You know, God has some things that he wants, but you know, I've got some things that I want. And so in religion today, we have creed books that have been written. We have councils and creeds where men have sat down and made rulings about things. God gave all of his authority to his son, and he didn't give us any authority. The Pope doesn't have any authority. There are religions walking around where men sitting down making rules as if they're just sort of buddy-buddy with God. Let's just all sit down here at the table. There's God down there. And we're down here and we would like some things for our church. And so we're going to vote on that. And we're going to have some rulings on that. Really? We're not equals where we just all sit down and, well, I'm going to give my presentation and cast my vote. He has given all authority to his son. The church belongs to Christ. It's the church of Christ. There's no earthly ruler. Our Catholic friends have a pope. Other religions have presidents. They have different people that rule and reign over those denominations. There's no voting with God. There's no sitting down at a boardroom table and finding out what people want. But that's what's going on in religion today. We've forgotten, like Diotrephes. Diotrephes loveth to have the preeminence. He made himself rise up, and then he started making decisions in the church, who could be in the church and who couldn't, as if he had that role. He doesn't have that role. God sits on a throne. And it would be funny if it weren't so serious that you'll hear today in major religions, they're sitting down taking votes on homosexuality. And should we have women in the priesthood? And should we have, we need to vote on this and we need to talk about this. And it's already been settled, brethren, in His Word. Because God sits on a throne and He hasn't given us a vote in the matter. And yet, when you look at religion today, that's what you would think is going on. God sits on a throne. He doesn't sit in a rocking chair like Grandpa, you know. God's just like Grandpa, you know. And I think Grandpas maybe should be like that, you know. I remember some of my fondest memories were going to Grandpa's house. You know, you go to Grandpa's house, you sit on his knee, he'll give you a piece of candy. I remember that. My grandfather on my mother's side just lived across the road. Mom, can I go down to Grandpa's house? You know, he'd be working all day, smelling like John Deere tractor. Come in smelling like John Deere tractor. Come here, Chris, you know, how'd you do today, you know? Did you have a good day at school? He'd bring you over there, you know, he might have a piece of candy or something. Well, let's go in the kitchen and get something. That's a great thing to do. And maybe I'd like to maybe be like that with my grandkids. You know, come on over here, you know. Loving and doting and caring and all that kind of thing. But God's not sitting in a rocking chair like a doting grandfather. You know, He just loves me despite the way I live. You know, I can live any way I want. He'll just come give me a hug. No, He's on a throne. He's not in a rocking chair up in heaven. Just any way you live, I'll just be fine with that. Look with me at Romans chapter 2 and verse 5. But that's the picture you often get with many people today. Well, God is so loving that we can live any way I want. God is loving. John says God is love. Of course He is. But His love does not overlook immorality and the wrong in our life. His love wants us to get out of that. He is loving. But that love does not condone sinful things. Look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 5. When we're so hardened in our life that we won't repent, we won't make any changes. I'm just hard. I'm not going to listen to what the brethren say. I'm not going to listen to what the preacher says. I'm not going to listen to my parents. I'm just so hardened. after your hardened and impenitent, that's unrepentant heart, you treasure up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. God has a wrathful side to Him, and it's going to come out in the judgment day. In Romans 11, 22, behold the goodness and severity of God. He has both sides. Oh no, God's up in heaven. He's in a rocking chair. He's like loving grandpa up there, you know, and he just kind of come give me a hug and I'm just living any way I want. But he doesn't care about that. Yes, he does. He sits on a throne. He's not in a rocking chair. And that's a throne of judgment. And we need to take him seriously. You ever play that game, musical chairs? The music's going. You got 12 chairs in a circle, but you got 13 people. You know, it's a fun little game. The music's going. You just walk around. When the music stops, you got to sit down. You just pick one closest to you. You know, today there are thousands of gods. You just Google it. Just Google names of God. There's thousands. All these religions. Brahma, Allah, Ahura Mazda, Shiva, on and on and on. And it's almost like, well, you know, we need to be religious, so let's just pick one. Let's just pick one. That's all that matters. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. There is one Lord and God and Father, Paul says in Ephesians 4, 6. One God and Father, listen to it, who is over all and through all and in you all. Now let me ask you this. If you're over something and through something and in something, is there anywhere you're not? There is no other place for some other God. And so we're reminded in the book of Isaiah that that is the case. There is only one true God. Everything else is just simply the figment of somebody's imagination that is dreamed up in order to allow them to live a certain way. In Isaiah 44 and verse 6, thus saith Jehovah, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, Jehovah of hosts, I am the first and the last, and besides me there is no God. And he's demonstrated, somebody says, well, prove it. He did, by sending his Son. All of this other figment of imagination, thousands of gods, there's been no proof of any of that other than just somebody's word. Jesus came in the flesh and proved it with miracles. The ultimate one was the resurrection, Romans 1:3, by which he declared himself to be the Son of God. God is the only one who's ever demonstrated his reality. That's why we don't follow all that other. Where has been the demonstration of all that other? Never, ever, anywhere. No miracles from any of those other gods. No voice from heaven from any of those other gods. Isaiah 45, verse 5 and 6. I am Jehovah, and there is none else. Besides me, there is no God. And we need to remember that. Verse 6. I am Jehovah, and there is none else. Today, it's, well, just you know, pick the, you know, worship in the church of your choice. Pick a God. It doesn't matter. It's all the same. No, it's not. And this is not musical chairs or a cafeteria or something like that where God is just one among many and you just pick one. That's not the case. God sits on a throne, not in a lazy boy recliner. Listen, there's times when at the end of the day we're tired and we just want to sit down and put our feet up. But that's not what God is. God is not doing that. We don't serve a God who is unconcerned about our behavior. And listen, when I finally get to my lazy boy recliner, you know, I want to take a break. You know, you kind of want to take a break. And you don't want to be concerned with, you know, well, did I get the yard cut or all the weeds put? You just want to take a break from all of that. You're really not concerned about that. You just want to take a break. And some picture God that way, as if he's up in heaven in a lazy boy recliner, just sort of unconcerned about what's going on. Proverbs 15:3, his eyes are everywhere, looking upon the evil and the good. He sits on a throne. And when you read Psalm 9 and verse 7 and Psalm 11 and verse 4, he's on that throne to judge us. He's very much concerned about our behavior each and every day. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, when we recognize God on his throne now, That's what allows us to spend eternity with heaven in heaven in the end. We're going to be around His throne. And in Revelation chapter 7, beginning in verse 9, with regard to that throne in heaven where God sits, when we obey His Word and when we live faithfully each day, we can be around that throne. There's going to be multitudes, verse 9, a great multitude. Will you be in that multitude? We're going to sing a song of encouragement in just a minute. Have we been baptized properly for the remission of our sins? Are we living faithfully each day? Oh, it doesn't matter how I live because God's in a rocking chair. No, He's not. God's in a lazy boy. I've got my picture of God that justifies my life. No, if He's on a throne, He's there to judge me. And I've got to make sure that my life is in accordance to His Word. And when I live right, look at verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall spread His tabernacle over them. Because we recognize God on a throne now, and we live accordingly, we can be with Him in heaven around His throne for all eternity. What picture of God do you have? What picture of God do I have? I hope that the scene that is given us in His Word will heighten our respect and reverence for Him. God is just being brought down. He's just being brought down in so many ways. People have Him sitting out there being entertained. People have Him in a boardroom where we're all casting our votes and, God, what do you think? And will you consider what I think? And all that kind of thing. They've got Him sitting in a rocking chair or musical chairs or a lazy boy recliner. He is on a throne. He is on a throne. And we're so glad that He's there because He's the only one that can keep this world straight. We see what man has done. And so we're going to live accordingly. And we're going to love Him and we're going to serve Him so that we can be around His throne and serve Him for all eternity. The alternative, as we were reminded recently in our gospel meeting, is hellfire. And that's certainly not anywhere where God is. So let's live right. And let's get up each day thinking in our mind that God is up in heaven on a throne and we're going to serve Him to the best of our ability each day. If we can assist you in making your life right, if you'll come and let your needs be made known, we can study more if we need to. We can open up our Bibles. We can open up our minds and sit down and learn what we need to do to bring our lives into conformity to God because He's on a throne. And one day we're told that we're going to stand before that throne on high and that bar on high. We're going to be judged. And all of a sudden, the world, all of humanity is going to really realize where He's been sitting all along. But it'll be too late for too many. Not for us, though. We want to bring our lives into conformity. We want to serve God. And if we can assist you, why won't you come as we stand and sing?